We're going to read scripture together. We're reading from chapter 12 of Hebrews. We've jumped ahead a little bit because the theme of VBS, you can see, is the incredible race. And tomorrow morning, we're going to jump into the race and get going. But today, all of us have a chance to talk about the race and get involved. Make sure we're involved with the race. And if you're not, we want to invite you to get involved with the race of the Christian life. So let's read together. From Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it's verses 1 through 4, and let's read it together. 1 through 3, sorry. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 3 if you haven't already. And as well, there is an outline that will go along with the message. And let me say this, I wrote it down at the end of my sermon, but after service is over, we need to stack all of the chairs. So any of you that are willing to hang out and help us to stack the chairs, get them out of the way and ready for VBS tomorrow, we'd appreciate your help. I'll try to remind us again at the end. To us about running the race. And by way of introduction, let me share a story. My brother-in-law, Jeff, is a racetrack announcer up at Wall Stadium, New Jersey. And after my sister met him and we got to know him, I said, man, I like this guy. And he got us free tickets into the races. And that was awesome. So the first time I went to the track, I was about 16. And it was me and another friend of mine, and we got these courtesy tickets. And as we sat down for the races, and these modified cars pulled up to the start line, and they're revving their engines, there was excitement in the air, the energy was just pumping. All of a sudden, the flag went, and these cars took off, and they're popping wheelies. And I was like, yes! I want to be in the races. I was so excited, I wanted to get my 5-speed Pinto and get on the race. True story. True story. I actually took my 5-speed Pinto up to Asbury Park, New Jersey. That's where the boss is from. And they would, on Friday nights, they would actually race along the beachfront. And you would go to the stoplight, it would turn red, and you would line up. And I got on the line with my 5-speed Pinto, and there's these big muscle cars all lined up next to me. I'm revving my engine, buddy. I pop it into gear and let the clutch out. And I beat them off the line. I beat them off the line. It only lasted a few seconds. They went on past me and left me in their smoke. Well, I didn't get into the race with my Pinto that night. But a few years later, I got into the race of following the Lord Jesus Christ. I got into the race of being a Christ follower. And it's more exciting than a car race. See, a car race happens, and then it's over. And What's kind of disappointing about a car race is there's only one winner. There's only one person that gets the trophy. And in the Christian life, the race of the Christian life, we all win. We can all win. And I want to talk to you about following Christ. And we become Christ followers and then we enter this race and we press on. So the scriptures here give us a point that as we jumped ahead to chapter 12 is this, that as Christ followers, we are called to run life as a race. We are to understand that the Christian life is a race, and we are to run it in such a way that we win the race that is marked out for us. There is a race set before us. The Scripture talks about the Christian life as a race in many places. And it marks out a race for us. We have to run the race according to the rules, according to the way it's marked out for us. And you see, when we talk about the race of the Christian life, it's not so much about how we start, it's about how we finish. Not so much about how we start, it's about how we finish the race. You see, a lot of people start the race, but unfortunately, a lot of people drop out of the race. We are to not only start the race of the Christian life, being a Christ follower, but we're to press on and finish the race. We got to think of this race of the Christian life as a long-distance marathon, not as a 100-meter sprint. I remember back in grade school, and I don't know if they do this anymore because, you know, it might harm the kid's psyche if you made them run or do something of exercise in school. God forbid that we should do that. Can't say prayers and you can't make them exercise and you can't discipline them. I don't know what they do all day long. I guess they're looking at their phones. Moving right along. So anyway, in grade school, we had the Presidential Fitness Award. And if you met a minimum number of requirements of activities, physical activities, you would get the President's Award. I never got it. One of the things that they made you do is the 600-meter walk-run. And for me, mostly walk. But you had to finish it. You had to finish the race. You couldn't, you know, start and then drop out. You had to finish the race. And here's the thing. Thank you, brother. We had to start that 600-meter walk-run, and then you had to finish it. So we would start out, we would run a few steps, and for me, I would get a side pain. How many of you get those when you start to run? I decided I'm never going to run the rest of my life. You get a side pain, and you just stop. And, you know, if you stopped, then the officials will come around, and they say, don't stop, walk it out. Walk it out. Keep going. Keep going. Finish the race. And so I don't know how many of those I finished walking. You know, I was one of the last people to finish it, and I'm proud of it. What about you? As we talk about running with perseverance in the Christian life, we're told that we should not drop out of the race. We are to persevere. We're called to run with this perseverance, not to give up, and to run in a way that we win. The Christian life is a race, and I want to say this because it's so important for us to hear this. The Christian life is a race of service and sacrifice and obedience and sometimes even suffering. The Christian life is not just a race of fun. There are enjoyable things, and God is good all the time. Amen? He is good to us. But the Christian life sometimes is a race of sacrifice. It's a race of service, a race of obedience, sometimes even suffering. And you see, sometimes we got the wrong idea. Many people come into the Christian life thinking it's going to be easy. Think everything's going to be great. You know? And that's just not the truth. Jesus calls us to follow Him because He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father but by Him. That's why we follow Him. That's why we get into the race. Not because it's easy. Not because of the rewards. Those are a byproduct. And sometimes it's very difficult. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. What about you? Are you in the race? Have you started this race of following Christ? And if not, are you ready today to get into the race? We're excited for this week as we're going to teach the children about this race of following Jesus. But what about you? Have you started this race? And if not, we want to give you an invitation today to start this race. If you have started this race, are you running with perseverance? Are you running according to the rules that are laid out for us, the race that's marked out for us? I remember one time, I think it was at a camp that I went to. It might have been a YMCA camp. I was quite young. And they had this like this wilderness run that we were supposed to do. And somehow I got separated from everybody else. Probably because I was, you know, daydreaming. Out in the woods. Yeah. PT out in the woods, daydreaming. See, back then they didn't diagnose you with ADD or AD whatever it is. They just said I was different. PT, he's different. He's just different. Well, somehow I got separated. And I followed these trails as best I could. And also, I didn't see anybody else. And I'm out there in the woods, and I have no idea where I am. No idea. Thankfully, I came upon a sign, and it pointed the opposite way. So it's like, time to go back. You have to run the race according to the way it's marked out for us. And sometimes we find ourselves off the trail, off the rails, as we say. And today is a day to get back on the trail, get back on the rail, get back in the race. Amen? It doesn't matter how you began. It doesn't even matter about if you got off the rails. What's important is you get back on the rails, get back on the trail, get back on the racetrack, and follow the Lord. Amen? That's what it's about. Yesterday's gone. Listen to me. Listen. Yesterday is gone. You can't do anything about yesterday. What we have is today. And what we have is the race before us. And God calls us. He says, run the race. Run the race with perseverance. And it's difficult to run this race if you're not connected to the church, to the body of Christ. It's very difficult. You know, the church gets a lot of criticism today. And we've made, the church, the organized church, has made a lot of mistakes. There's been a lot of sin, and it's been covered up. And I understand that, you know. And the church needs to own up to that, and it needs to deal with that. But you and I cannot run this race alone. We need a body of believers to hold us accountable, to encourage us, to challenge us, and for you to encourage others. We need you. We need one another. And if you get separated from the body, it's going to be very, very difficult. Think of Paul with me. Do you remember when he was separated from the church, the body? He was in prison near the end of his life, the end of his ministry. And his words haunt me. He says, he's writing in Timothy, and he says, everyone has abandoned me. Aren't those horrible words? He's in prison. I mean, he's been doing the Lord's work. He's been sharing the gospel with people, walking all over creation to share the good news of Christ. And he gets arrested for this. He's in prison. He's in chains. And he writes, everyone has forsaken me. I'm alone. What a horrible feeling. What a horrible statement. You see, the church should never leave anyone alone. We should always be there for one another and encourage and challenge one another. So verse 1 starts out here that there's a crowd watching us. It reminds us that there is a crowd cheering us on. The faithful ones that are listed in chapter 11 that have gone on before us, and they are encouraging us to press on, to run the race as they have run the race. Well, this isn't the only place in the Scripture that the Christian life is referred to as a race. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about this, running this race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. And Bruce Gordon is going to read that scripture for us.
Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the race. Amen.
Brother Bruce, Paul knew that he had to finish the race. He had to persevere. He had to press on so that he could win the prize. And you see, the beautiful thing about the Christian walk, the Christian race, as I said a little bit earlier, in a human race, only one person gets the prize, right? Except if you're in public school. Everybody gets the prize because everybody's a winner. Anyway. In the Christian life, the beautiful thing is we all get the prize. Not because you are the winner in competing with anyone else, but just the fact that you finish the race faithfully. Someone said to me, Pastor Tom, I haven't been running the race very well lately. I've kind of gotten off the rails, and I've failed, and I've had a flat tire. I've got a breakdown in the car. Listen, we all have those. I don't know about you, but there's some days I get up and I'm like, Lord, I just want to go back to bed. It's too hard. There's just too many things going on. There's too many people that are suffering. There's too many people that are going through terrible times. And I just can't take it. It's too much, Lord. You know, I try to follow you and, you know, my flesh constantly fails you. And then I hear the voice of the Lord. Press on, my child. I'm not done with you yet. See, the Lord's not done with us. He's still working on us. And as I preached last week, it's Him who is working in us, perfecting us, pressing us onward. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't get discouraged. We have to press on. So let's break this down some more. So Scripture challenges us to run to win in this race. So number one, in order to run the race to win, we have to run with perseverance. Perseverance. The word perseverance means to run with steadfastness, constancy, endurance. As I said earlier, when it comes to physical running, I'm not really a fan. The only time I run is if there's somebody shows up with a pizza. And I run to the door to meet him. I'm not really a fan of running. Years ago, I tried that a little bit, and of course, with a bad back, it really aggravated my back, and so I really can't run. But many people love to run, and I'm amazed sometimes at the distances people can run, or maybe you bicycle, maybe you bicycle. I think it was, well, Dave Kofeldt's in Children's Church, teaching Children's Church. We appreciate he and a couple of his kids are teaching Children's Church for the summer, giving our teachers a break, and we appreciate that very much. So kudos to David. But he told me the other day he bicycled, I think, if I remember correctly, I think he said 100 miles. I'm like, are you ill? Did your car break down or something? 100 miles. But then I thought back to when I was a kid. And I had this 10-speed. And, you know, we're talking, you know, ages ago. But I would ride from, you know, where I lived all the way up to the boardwalk and the beach. And that was like, I don't know, a good 15, 18 miles. And I would never think anything of it. And then when I was done doing whatever I was doing, I would bicycle on back. You see, if you run the race and you have endurance, you have steadfastness, you have perseverance, it's not so hard. Yes, you're going to hit bumps in the road. Yes, you're going to encounter things. You might get a flat. You know, your shoelace may get wrapped up in the spokes. But these things are to be expected. And you don't just stop and give up, you press on. So whenever we hit those bumps, we press on. Make up your mind now. You see, you and I have to make up our mind now, here. Because in here, it's easy. We're all here encouraging each other. We're here cheering each other on. We have this crowd of witnesses that is cheering us on. You see, it's easy. Because out there, living life, it's going to get tough. And if you can't make the commitment here, when it gets tough out there, you're going to fall flat. You're going to get off the rails. So, you know, make the commitment here. Some people call Christians weak. Well, that is true in some aspects. We are weak in ourselves. And we need Jesus' strength. It's by His strength that we run this race, not our own. In our own strength, there's times we just want to give up. We say it's too hard. And we have to ask the Lord for His strength. But you see, to be a true disciple is the hardest thing in life. It's the hardest thing in this life. So if people call you weak, okay, so what? I am weak. Some people, you know, have this thing, oh, I can't look weak. Well, guess what? You and I are weak. In ourselves, we are weak. You just need to accept it and get over it. Because if you think that you're strong, let me tell you something. The enemy has special tactics to show you that you're weak. We know of King David. I mean, here's a glorious servant of God. You know, he has killed thousands upon thousands of Philistines. He's led the armies in battle. You know, God calls him a man after my own heart. What happens? The enemy tempts him in an area of weakness. Sends him a beautiful woman to tempt him, not his wife. And we know this downfall. You see, the enemy knows how to tempt us. He knows his tactics to come against us. That's why we have to be vigilant. We have to stay persevering with one another, and be accountable to one another. Got to be accountable to one another. You cannot be a Lone Ranger Christian. So it's hard. It's hard to follow Christ. Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross. What does that mean? Deny myself means basically, whatever I want to do, you know, deny that and follow God. Because my flesh constantly wants to do things that is against what God wants. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. How you doing with that one? The enemy that cuts you off in traffic. The enemy that comes in and comes like this close to your car trying to get in the traffic with you. And you start waving. Somebody know what I was talking about. You're not waving high either. You see, the world's ways, our flesh's ways, are easy. They come natural, right? It's our default mode. It comes natural. You know, someone in your family says something and really jacks you up. You really get hot about it. What do? We say something back, you know? Your husband or your wife say something, and all of a sudden, you're having intense fellowship. I've told you that before, right? Brenda and I have been married coming up on 33 years. Seems like just a day. And we don't fight anymore, but we have intense fellowship. You get mad at each other. What's our natural inclination? Our flesh wants to lash out. Your spouse says something smart to you, what do? You say something smart back. You know? It's easy to do that. It's hard to catch yourself and to respond in a godly way, to respond through the Spirit. Then the Scripture goes on to say our struggle is not against flesh and blood, the human plane, but rather against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So to live the Christian life is hard. To run the race is hard. So, as we talk about persevering, there's a couple of things. When I mentioned this before, when someone's running and they get that side pain, you run it out. You don't stop. So when I was 19, it was not cool to follow Jesus. All of my friends, you know, they were definitely not cool with that. And when I began to share with them, I had committed myself to follow Jesus Christ, and I started telling a number of my friends about this. They're like, "What? You Jesus freak, get away from me." You know, they mocked me. But here's what happened. I made a decision that, you know what, Jesus, I made a commitment to follow you. You are my Lord, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be concerned about what you think, not about what other people think anymore. I don't really care what other people think. Because ultimately, I've got to answer to you. I've got to keep my eyes fixed on you, Jesus, and one day I'm going to answer to you. So, I made that decision. I nailed it down. Listen, you and I need to nail it down. We need to stop waffling about the race. Get in the race, stay in the race, and persevere in the race. Stop thinking about the idea that I can get out of the race. Once you start the race, that's it. You're in the race for life. It doesn't end. We keep on going. Then when it gets hard, we get with one another, and we need encouragement. Listen, there's times that, you know, I'll call a friend up on the phone and say, "Man, it's been tough. It's been a tough day." And talk and pray together. And again, there's a crowd of saints cheering us on. Let's just look briefly in chapter 11 at some of the saints that he encourages us with. We have Eileen Rich is going to read chapter 11, verses 32 through 40 for us.
"And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets.
We got an old style here. Old school.
All right. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
They persevered. And almost all of them died without receiving their reward, without receiving all that God had promised to them. Think with me for a second about Abraham. God promised Abraham a son, his own offspring. Now, Abraham is as old as dirt, and his wife was older. Or I got it the other way around. His wife was 90, and God says she's going to have a child. It's going to be a child from your own loins. And, of course, we know that his wife Sarai laughed when she heard that idea. Now, if you're 90, Miss Nell's turning 90, right? And you go up to her and say, Nell, the Lord said you're going to have a baby. What do you think she'd do? She'd laugh and slap you. 90 years old. And we know that God brought it about. You see, then God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your promised child that I have given to you. Wow. But Abraham persevered, even up to the moment where he had the knife raised. He persevered, and God called out to him and said, don't kill the child, and provided a sacrifice. Think of Joseph with me. Joseph had wonderful dreams from the Lord. Amen? And of course, he spouted them off to his brothers and his father. And then he ended up in prison. So, by the way, if you have big, grandiose dreams, keep it to yourself and the Lord. Don't go spouting it off to your brothers and sisters. We might throw you in a pit. No, I'm just kidding. Just make sure you're awake. Joseph spent years in prison. He was falsely accused, but he persevered. He persevered to the point where he became second in command in Egypt under the Pharaoh. Think with me of Moses. He had to deal with over 2 to 3 million grumbling, faithless Israelites that continually disobeyed the Lord. And you remember, I believe it's early in Exodus, when they disobeyed the Lord, Moses got so fed up with the people, he said, Lord, just kill me. Let's just be done with it. Kill me, Lord, because I am done with these people. But God said, no, you need to persevere. And he did. But at the end of his life, guess what? Because of some unfaithfulness on his part, he didn't get to enter the promised land. He only saw it from afar. Yet he persevered. He pressed on. Listen, you cannot press on just because you think you're going to get rewards in this life. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we press on and we're blessed of the Lord now. Other times we press on, we persevere, and you don't see those blessings and you won't see them until you get to be with Jesus. And that's just the way it is. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Well, you know, the reason you're not blessed is because you got sin in your life. Well, you know what? That might be. But there's a scripture that says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and he is true and he'll forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How hard is that? I remember when I first got my back issued. I was 24. And, you know, I ran off to every healing service. I went to every person that would pray over me for healing. I confessed every sin I ever thought of, ever did or ever thought of, you know, any kind of sin. Said, Lord, I want to make sure I don't have a back issue because of sin in my life. And guess what? I was forgiven, but he didn't heal my back. To this day, I have a back issue. I have a back problem. And the elders here have anointed me and prayed over me. I've gone to healing services. Several years ago, they had a very special healing service at our national council, and I went forward. I went forward to the big dogs. You know, the ones that have prayed for people for decades, and they've seen people get healed, and I kneeled before them, and before the altar, and before the Lord, and said, please pray for me for healing. They did. And I got up, and I wasn't healed. But the Lord said, I am with you. I am still with you. Press on. Sometimes we don't receive the rewards on this side of heaven. You're going to get the rewards when you go to be with Jesus. So number two, in order to run this race to win, we must throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We need to run with perseverance. And then again in verse 1, the second part says, run the race by throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's deal with this first part. The sin that so easily entangles. Another way of saying it is the sin that thwarts us. The sin that tries to knock us out of the race. It's kind of the idea of a fellow competitor who would try to knock you out of the race that you're running with them. We've seen that, right? We've seen that with runners. We've seen that with race car drivers. We've seen that with motorcycle. You know, what do? They come up alongside you and they just bump you. And how many of you have seen that happen and all of a sudden the race car, you know, skids out of control and it tumbles and sometimes it's a terrible accident. They go off the track. That's the idea here. There's some sins that easily thwart us, easily bump us out of the race. And it says we are to get rid of those sins. You see, we have an enemy that is constantly trying to thwart us, trying to defeat us, trying to knock us out of the race. And you know, he doesn't come up in our face. You know, he doesn't jump in our face and say, ha! I'm the devil! No, he doesn't say that. Or he doesn't send an idea or a thought to you and say, hey, this is from the devil, by the way. He doesn't do that. No, no, no. He does things in a very underhanded, very complicated and esoteric way sometimes, right? We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that sometimes he comes as an angel of light. He disguises himself, he counterfeits, and he does these things to try and knock us out of the race. Sometimes he does it through the sins of the flesh. He tries to defeat us so that we drop out of the race. Jesus talked about this. We're not going to take time to read it, but in Matthew 13 and also in Luke 10, Jesus says, several of the things that try to keep us out of the race are this. Cares of the world. Just life. Working. I owe, so off to work I go. Right? I saw that bumper sticker. And that's sad. That shouldn't be the reason we're going off to work. If it is, you got the wrong work ethic, the wrong work theology. The scripture says, I work to glorify God, and He provides my needs, and I also work so that I can share with the needs of others. But we work, and sometimes work just drives you crazy. Makes you want to quit. Quit everything. Quit work and quit everything. How many of you feel that way sometimes? Work just, yeah, some of y'all were ready to quit this week, weren't you? But don't let your work tempt you to quit running the race to following Jesus Christ. Sometimes your family will make you want to quit, make you want to give up. I understand. Sometimes families can be wonderful. Sometimes families can be difficult. Jesus said the cares of the world, you know, the bills, the concerns, the responsibilities. He goes on to say, not only the cares of the world, but the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin. We know that sin is pleasurable, but the scripture says only for a season. Only for a season. It's like eating one of those candy bars. You ever go in the dollar store and they got that rack of candy right where you check out? I mean, they got the Milky Ways, and the Three Musketeers, and the Twix. Whose favorite am I missing? Snickers. Oh my goodness. Man. And you buy one of those things. By the way, I was there yesterday, and I was tempted to buy one of those to a Snickers or Three Musketeers, and I fought it. I just turned away. I said, no, can't eat that. And I didn't eat it. Don't always do that. I usually give in. But it looks so delicious, right? And you eat that thing, and for a few seconds, you're like, But guess what? It's gone. And you're out a couple of dollars, you know? Sin is like that. It promises you so much. And yes, it may be pleasurable, but then it's gone. So the cares of the world, the pleasures of sin. Then he goes on to say, the deceitfulness of wealth. Oh, man, you got to make the money. You got to have it because you got to get your stuff. You got to get your toys. That's a whole other sermon right there. But Jesus talked about these things that will knock us out of the race. If you get focused on these things, if you allow the enemy to bring them into full focus of your life, it will knock you out of the race. You'll get derailed. There's other things like that. Discouragement. Even depression, despair. You know, we need to know ourselves. Some of us deal with certain things that are very difficult, and we're, none of us are faulting you or anyone else for these kinds of things. But listen, we all know how to get help. But what do? We isolate ourselves. You know, we allow the enemy to give us stinking thinking, like, oh, you know, my brothers and sisters, if they knew I was like this, they'd be judging me, they'd be condemning. That's a lie. There's not one person in this church that doesn't struggle. Not a one. And if you were to be here and you say, I don't struggle, then I'd say you're a liar because you're struggling with lying right now. But we isolate ourselves. And we say, well, I can do this alone. You know? Or the enemy starts lying to you. Well, nobody really cares anyway. People down there at the church, they don't really care about you. See, we believe this stuff. And the enemy puts those things in our mind and with those thoughts. And we have to get rid of that stuff and pray for one another, reach out to one another. You know, sometimes someone will call and they don't even know why they've called. But you just ask a couple of questions. Listen, if somebody calls you, can you stop what you're doing? Put your phone away for a minute. Get off the computer. Turn the TV off. Put the book away and listen for just a minute and ask a couple of questions. Hey, man, how you doing? And when they lie to you, say, okay, how you really doing? And then pray for each other. It's not hard. We can do these things, and we're called to do them. That's part of our race. Well, those are the sins that can easily entangle us. And he uses that word, thwart us, entangle us, very specifically because it is true, is it not? It is true. There are sins that easily entangle us. But there's something else. He says, not only the sins that entangle, but throw off that which hinders. In the old King James Version, it says, throw off every weight. What does that mean? Well, runners of that day would wear warm-up weights around their legs, and even today, runners will do that. They'll wear warm-up weights around their legs. The point is, when the runners would run the race, they wouldn't leave those weights on. They would take them off, because those weights would hinder them. The idea was, I'm going to take those weights off, and now I'm going to feel so light and so fast and so strong that I'm going to be able to win this race. Well, so it is with us. There are certain things in our life that become weights to us. And the scripture here says, throw them off. Don't allow those weights to stay on. What the writer is referring to here are things that may not necessarily be intrinsically sinful, but they become a weight. They become a hindrance to us running the race. What is it that's become a hindrance or a weight to your walk? What is it that's hindering you? Or maybe there's a sin that has entangled you. What is it? It's keeping you from either running the race or it's keeping you from giving your life to Jesus Christ. What is it? Activities, habits, friendships that drag you down, that keep you from following Christ or following Him with perseverance, or even starting the race with Christ. One of the things that me and my buddies loved to do when I was like 17, 18, we loved to ride motorcycles. And we would ride off in a pack, like sometimes you see on 50, a pack of them. And we would You know, we would just get on the road and just drive. It was just fun. We enjoyed that. But the problem is, they all wanted to stop at, you know, the bar. See, in Jersey, you could drink when you're 18. And so they'd want to stop. And you know, of course, then the drinking and the carousing would begin. And I just had to make a decision. You know what? I love to ride with you guys. You're my friends. But I'm just not going to ride with you anymore. I'm just not going to ride with you anymore. Because, you know, you're trying to suck me into it. And guess what? I was weak. And I would get sucked into it. Can I make a confession? I'm weak. Oh, Pastor Tom, you don't sin. You don't give in to sin. Oh, yes, I do. I did then. I still today. I'm not practicing it, but I'm weak just like you. I just had to make a decision. I'm not going to follow you guys anymore. I'm not going to hang with you dogs anymore. Because you're leading me into sin, and I'm not able to follow Christ. You know what? You might say, well, you're supposed to be strong, and you're supposed to be an example for them. Well, you know what? I wasn't. Okay? I wasn't. And so the next best thing was, I'm not doing this anymore. Because I'm not strong enough. I'm going to get stronger, but right now I'm not strong enough. Listen, some of you all need to come to terms that you're not strong enough. You know, if the enemy's got you off the rails, you're definitely not strong enough because he puts you out there alone and beats on you, and then you wonder why you feel defeated. You wonder why you feel weak. It's because the enemy has worked you over. And you can't be thinking in terms of, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be an example. No, you're not. Accept it. Deal with yourself as truth. I'm weak, and Lord, I need you to restore me, but I got to give up some of these things that are hindering me. What is the Lord speaking to you about? Throw it off. It's not worth it. It's going to keep you out of the race. It's going to keep you from running with perseverance. Third, and we'll close with this, in order to run the race to win, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's the beginner and the finisher of our faith. And it says to fix your eyes on him. What does that mean? You see, to fix our eyes on Jesus means that I look at him attentively. I keep my eyes on him. Turn your eyes away from those things that are keeping you out of the race, keeping you from running with perseverance, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Anyone who runs will tell you it helps them to concentrate on something, whether it's the finish line, whether it's a spot up ahead. You know, you look at that spot, and you get there, then you pick another spot, and you keep running. Well, we have to concentrate on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What I mean by this is not just a matter of our own concentration and our willpower. The fact that he's the author and the finisher of our faith is the one that he gives us strength. He gives us our faith. He gives us even the perseverance so that we can stay in the race and stay connected. You and I need to stay connected to Jesus. That's what it means to fix your eyes on him. How many of us are guilty? We get up in the morning and we rush off into the day and you haven't fixed your eyes on Jesus. You haven't connected with him that day. And how does that day go? It doesn't go very well sometimes, does it? All of a sudden, we find ourselves operating out of the flesh, operating our own strength, getting frustrated, losing our cool, wondering why things aren't going so well. You think the Lord's trying to say something to us? We need to stay connected. Get into the Word in the morning and let Jesus be the one who guides you through the day, who walks with you. Let me close with this. Our struggles in running the race are nothing in compared to what Jesus endured for us. Part of the reason it tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, because we might say, oh yes, you know, the saints of old, the saints in the Old Testament, they endured terrible things. They couldn't always run the race because they were persecuted. But that's in a different day. But what about Jesus? What did he suffer? Think about his suffering. At the end there, in verse 3, it says, remember what Jesus suffered so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Jesus scorned the cross. He knew the cross was coming, and he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus knew what was coming in the sense of the human suffering. He knew he was going to be arrested. He told his disciples, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. says the Gentiles are going to arrest me, they are going to falsely accuse me, and they are going to crucify me. He knew what was coming, and he endured. He was faithful. Fix your eyes on the one who, in other words, in comparison, we don't really face too much suffering like that, do we? The things we go through, yes, they're difficult to us, but it's that old adage, you know, if I'm having a problem, it's a big deal. If you're having a problem, not so much. That's the way we are, right? If you're having a problem, hey, you know, sorry about that, you know, deal with it. God bless you. But if we're having a problem, man, I got to tell the whole world. Everybody needs to know about it, and y'all need to do something about it and help me. Well, guess what? Jesus is the one that can help you. We can do what we can pray for you, we can encourage you, but ultimately, you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Let me ask you, as I close, what's Jesus talking to you about? What do you need to lay down before Him? Are you off the rails, out of the race? It's so easy. Get back in the race. It's called repent. Turn away from sin. Turn away from those things that weigh you down. And renew your commitment to run the race with perseverance. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm embarrassed. Well, I'm embarrassed too when I fail, when I sin. But guess what? Get over it. Move on. You can't stay there. Don't let the enemy cripple you, paralyze you with embarrassment. Because we've all been there. Some of us are there right now. We have to press on. Lay it down. Run with perseverance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You speak to us so clearly, Lord, and You lay it out for us so that we can understand that we need to run this race, Lord, and throw off those things that hinder us. Lord, I know You're talking to people today. I know Your Spirit is speaking to people today, and You are calling them to either give their lives to You or to return to You and get back in the race. Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness. I pray Your Holy Spirit will deal with hearts right now. As we're in this holy moment, is the Lord speaking to you? Are there those of you here today that you need to get into the race? You need to give your life to Christ. You need to become a Christ follower so you can be in this race. And you want to give your life to Christ. You want to make that decision today. Is that you? If so, I'm going to ask you to speak to the Lord, to show Him by raising your hand all across this congregation. If you want to follow the Lord, I invite you to raise your hand. Amen. The Lord sees those hands. Now, maybe you've made this commitment and you've gotten off the rails and you need to get back into the race. Is that you? Raise your hand to the Lord right now. Amen. Lord, You see these that are responding to You. You tell us, Lord, that if we hear Your voice today, not to harden our hearts, these ones have responded to You. Lord, I pray You will meet them right at the point of their need. Thank You, Father, that You are loving and gracious. You receive us back. No matter what we've done, no matter how we fail, Lord, You receive us back. And You tell us we are Yours. Lord, encourage and restore these. Those of you who need to receive Christ, I pray that you take that next step. Come on up at the end of the service and pray with one of our prayer warriors. And cement that relationship with starting off with Jesus. Father, we thank You. We praise Your holy name. We pray all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed together. First time, folks.